So we have our scripture reading. I'm going to shift the scripture. And you have an insert in your bulletin. And it has a passage from, actually there's a passage from Exodus. So if you want to just pull that out and find that, then we will read our scripture passage together. And that would be on the inside. And it's above Prayer of St. Francis. Give you just a second to find that, and then we'll read these words together. Short but meaningful. I think that these windows also need to get shut if we're putting the air conditioning on. So, okay, all right. We're doing a lot of hand signals back and forth. So let's join together in our scripture reading from Exodus. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them along the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, that they may travel by day and by night. This is our scripture reading. May God bless our understanding and our embodiment of this word of abundant life. Amen. We all need pillars to guide us in different ways. And especially we need pillars of faith as a guide today, because we're living in a troubled society. And so that's what we're going to be talking about today, as you can see by the title of the topic. And it's called Pillars of Faith. Because faith is about equipping us for life. And now, today, as we stand and we sit in the pews here on the starting line of a new church year together, I just want to lay a few things out that have to do with how our faith equips us and what it has to say and what does it equip us for. And with that, I just want to call this part of my talk what I did on my summer vacation. Right? And actually, I'm going to back up before that to begin with just for a moment about last spring. Last spring, as many of you remember, I discovered I needed a new hip. And when I discovered that in early-ish April, I decided to go ahead and get a hip replacement right away and not delay. And that happened about a week after Easter. And I wanted to get it done right away because we had had a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity that had already been scheduled. It was already in the books. And this was this family trip that we took these last 3 weeks. And it was a trip that Laura's mom, really, thanks to her, had given us as a gift for us to be able to go to Europe because, and she died about a year ago, and she gave us this gift because that was something that she had, that was on her bucket list. She had always wanted to do it, and she never was able to do it. She never took the time. She wanted to be able to do this with her family, and so she had said, you know what, you take this and you do this. And our trip had been planned, and so I wanted to get this hip surgery in because we were going to be doing a lot of walking. And as it turned out, we were doing about walking between like 5 to 14 miles a day, right? And that included 3 days of hiking in Chamonix, which was outrageous, at Mont Blanc. And one of those hikes that we took, this is how it went. Well, see, we either were told or we heard that it was going to be a 3.5-hour hike. I wore hiking boots. The rest of the family didn't. It actually, what it was supposed to be, what we were supposed to hear was 3.5 hours climb up and then another 3.5 hours back down. So 4,000 feet up, 4,000 feet down. And that was 3.5 hours for people who are like in really good hiking shape. I slowed the group down, I got to tell you. So for us, it actually took us 4.5 hours, 4,000 feet up, 4.5 hours, 4,000 feet down, about 9 hours, little lunch in between. We got back down, and there was about 10 minutes of light left. Sunset at 8 o'clock, we got down at 8:30, and all of our legs were like jelly. And the whole thing, was just absolutely fantastic. It was such an adventure. And we love adventures. And during the hike and afterwards, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking about a number of things that had to do with today, with pillars of faith. And the first thing I realized is that there were many points along the way that we had a number of choices to make, that where if we wouldn't have made the right choices, the correct choices, we could have ended up in a really, really bad place. And if we wouldn't have had a guide to lead us the way, right? And I can bet you that the moment I say that, something changes in your mind and you go, oh, they had a guide. That changes everything, right? And you know what? That's the point. I say that knowing that it does change everything. It changes everything. If we wouldn't have had a guide to help us point in the right direction, telling us all sorts of things, you know, make sure you look out for this, take this trail, don't take that trail, beware of these rocks here, these loose rocks, we would have been in trouble if we tried to do this on our own and said, you know what, I got this. Now, as it turns out, the person who was our guide is the son of a church member. It's T.J. Hodgman. It's Tom Hodgman's son. Now, T.J. has become a good friend of ours over the years, and as has his wife, Karen. And the wonderful thing is that T.J. and his wife, he's not just some guy who likes hiking and who's into this. He actually went through 4 years of training to become a professional guide, right? So when we went and hiked the mountain, we found out as we were hiking, they actually both went the week before and they did the whole trail just to make sure that they knew the terrain incredibly well and knew it like the back of their hands. So when they spoke, when they said, we need to hurry up, we need to get to the top, we need to do this way, go that way, it wasn't just a couple of people shooting off their mouth or sharing their opinion, right? They had something to back it up with. You just wouldn't be smart to go, well, I know it's your opinion, but I think I'm just going to go this way instead, right? That would be dumb. Now, we all have opinions, right? And there are people who do try to do that trail on their own, who take their own way. And Tom had a lot of stories about some people who made it and some people who had to be helicoptered out, right? And I realize I've spent a lot of time, spent a number of minutes here talking about a hike in Chamonix. But you know darn well at this point, you are smart enough to know that I'm not just talking about hiking, am I? Right? It all goes back to our scripture. And I know that you've already figured out that this whole thing really has to do with life, doesn't it? And faith. And the way that we approach life and the way that we approach faith. Having pillars of faith as a guide for us in our journey through life. And I mention all this at the outset of a new year together because these days in our culture, what I notice, and I know what you notice too, is that there's this common mentality where, you know, everyone's opinion is to be valued equally. It's really not correct to think that one person's opinion may be valued more than another person's opinion. And I especially see this when it comes to things like life wisdom, right? We're all supposed to know just the same. Now, for regular people, God forbid, we're actually talking about this a little bit with the Board of Deacons this morning. You know, God forbid you were to share with your friends, with your peers, that there might just be a guide for this life who might know a little bit more about life than the average person, or a lot more. just like you would have a mountain guide. But someone who knows the terrain of life more than the regular person. And what if you were to say to your peers that you actually choose to follow this guide? You actually trust this guide with your life. Now, it's a funny thing because, you know, if you told your friends that you went hiking and that you had a mountain guide, they would think you were smart, right? If you told your friends that you went on vacation, you went on a tour and a destination that you didn't know much about, and, oh, I hired a tour guide, they would go, oh, fantastic, which one? Well, I use this one. Of course we use tour guides, mountain guides. We use financial guides. If you use a financial guide, you're smart. People go, geez, I wouldn't take that risk with my vacation. I wouldn't take that risk with my money. Medical guide? Absolutely. Life guide? People go, a lot of times, I got this one by myself. I can figure it out. We're funny, right? It's a little weird when you think about it in that way. Who we trust with what? Right? I'll be a pillar for you, says God. Not forcing myself upon you, but I'm available to give you light for your travels. To give you light, to be a pillar from the one who designed the terrain. Right? From the one who designed our inner wiring of what makes us happy and what makes us sad. From the one who knows what creates within us a sense of satisfaction and purpose and meaning and well-being and resolve. From one who knows the terrain of what are the things that we want to avoid in life that will make us miserable? What are those things that we may not see at first on the surface, but those things that will create turmoil, those things that will create dis-ease, either within us or within our relationships? From the one who knows the terrain, to say, you know what? It's a short trip. So you want to check out these beautiful vistas. Don't let them pass you by, you know, and avoid these pitfalls. And here are some ways to pull yourself out, and here are some ways to pull others out and lift them up. Here's just how to have a happier journey. I'll be a pillar for you to help lead the way. So as it turns out, I was thinking about what we do together. We're actually in guide school, all of us. We're in guide school, learning ourselves and being able to help others along the way if we learn it, if we practice it. You know, orienteering, right? What's involved in orienteering with maps and a compass and so forth. There were some times on our trips where we had the map and I had to say, wait a minute. Let's figure out, you know, which way is north on the map and let's figure out which way is north, because there were a few times that we were headed as the map was, but north was going this way, right? So you have to put these things together. We can lose your sense of direction. And the title today, as you've seen it, is not just Pillars of Faith. It's Pillars of Faith for those living in a troubled society. And why do I say that? One of the beyond brilliant things that Jesus said, and he said it in Matthew 16, verses 2 and 3. He said, and I shared this a couple of years ago. He said, when it's evening, you'll say, it'll be fair weather for the sky is red. Right? And if you look at the sky in the morning and it's red, he said, you'll say, it'll be stormy today for the sky is red and threatening. as I mentioned then, he was the one who came up with red sky in the morning, sailors take warning, red skies at night, sailors delight. Odd thing, you know, for spiritual master to come up with. But following that, he said a really interesting thing. He said this. He said, you know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you can't interpret the sign of the times. Wow. What are the signs of the times? What are the undercurrents? This is what we deal with. What are the undercurrents of what's really going on that may appear sometimes even to be something else on the surface? What's the deeper truth? What's the bigger picture? What's God's perspective? What's the long view? Where's our culture going? Signs of the times. Where's our environment going? What are the signs of our times? And who are we listening to as our guide? That's a big question. And where are we being led? Who are we trusting, not just with hiking, who are we trusting with our lives? To whom are we entrusting with our soul? And that goes for our children, too. The souls of the lives of our children and future generations. Are we just giving up on that one? Oh, it's too tough. I don't have the time. What are the signs of our times in terms of what we value, in terms of what we invest in with our money and with our time? And do these qualities line up with those of our Creator? You think of the pillars of our life. We all have pillars of our life that we set up and that we feed every day. Do our pillars line up with the pillars of our Creator, with God's pillars? If they're out of kilter, is that maybe why things seem shaky? Internally, why things maybe seem shaky out in the world? Some people go to such lengths to read signs that they've taken to do that with Apple Watches. Baseball reference. Passing those signs along. I've been a Red Sox fan, and it's embarrassing. It is. It's embarrassing. Why would you do that? Why do you do that? Why do you cheat? Because that's what it is. And can I go back to like a cheater? I don't think so. That's actually a sign of our times, isn't it? Sometimes who cheats more? Who gets away with it? I think of all the varying options about what's going on these days and opinions, different, you know, vastly different opinions about what's going on. The interesting thing is there's one thing that I think that there's nearly 100% agreement on from everybody, and that is that we're living in troubled times. There is rocky terrain. There are steep climbs. There are twists and turns. And any smart person would not only want a wise guide, but any smart person who has children would not want to throw their children ill-equipped into a world that disorients the soul almost by design. That's an everyday affair. And our challenge these days, I thought about this. It's not that we're not smart enough. People are bright. You know, we send our kids to school, and there are plenty of people with high IQs. The problem is not that we don't have enough people who are good at sports. My God, you know, you look at the sports field these days, and you think that every kid in the country was a professional. That's not our problem. It's not our problem that we don't have enough people in entertainment field or paying attention to that. It's not our problem that we don't know how to make money. That's not our problem. There's enough of that. Our trouble, our deficit. We talk about deficits. Our deficit, our blind spot as a nation, as a world, is on the level of soul. We don't have time for that anymore. On being on the right path. Our deficit, our blind spot, is understanding really what creates a good life, a sense of well-being, a sense of inner peace, equanimity, of deep happiness, of kindness. I don't think there's anybody walking around going, you know what the problem is? There's too much kindness. Too much kindness. We got to put an end to that. Too much compassion. There's too much respect. Way overdoing the respect. Too much reverence, right? Way too much gratitude, you know, from all ages. No. You know, too many people wanting to help each other. Where do we find these things? Where do these things get cultivated? They don't get instilled in schools. That's not their job. They don't have spiritual guides. It's not what they're designed to do. They're designed to create good competitors in life. Good. Do that. You don't get it from business. Sorry, business people. You know, you may disagree. I don't know. I'm not sure that business is saying, you know, let's up compassion this year by 15%. You don't get it from sports, and you don't get it from entertainment. Those things that we invest heavily in. We get it from our pillar. We get it from our guide. We get that from acting as we do as a congregation, as we pull together time after time after time, and we say, you know what? This is the guide that I follow. This is the pillar of my faith. And so what I did was today, as I do a lot of times, I included some pillars for you in the bulletin. I printed some of these things for you to have, for you to refer back to, for you to read and go, you know what? This is the way I'm going to go. Right? In our troubled world that disorients us, I want to reorient in this way. And so that's what I'm going to practice. Pillars of our faith guide us as a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They guide us. When we become overwhelmed, which I know in talking to you happens on a regular basis, when we wonder things like, what is going on? What am I to do? What do I invest in with my time, with my resources? What are those things that are going to feed my soul? These are the things that, as you know, drive us, right? And this is what we do as a church. And I think about this a lot, and I think God bless folks who don't have the benefit of the church. I would not want to go through life like that. And so another thing we talked about in Deacons this morning is, you know what? Do your friends a favor. It's something that we don't tend to talk about. Invite your friends to church. That's being a good friend, sharing something that's a worthwhile resource. Invite them to church. Many of you, probably most of you, are here because of some other relationship. Many of you are here because you've been invited. We equip for life of all ages through a troubled and beautiful world because we don't want to miss the beauty. So as we wrap it up today, just want to take a moment to read together one of the many several pillars of faith that I have written down here. There's one, this is just a beautiful one. I was going to read the prayer of St. Francis. We all know that. Read that at home. There's this beautiful one that I really like. It's called, "I Shall Not Pass This Way Again." Kind of summarizes in a way what we're talking about. So let's just read this one together. If there is any good thing I can do, or any kindness that I can show to any human being, let me do it now. I expect to pass through this life but once. If, therefore, there can be any kindness I can show, or any good thing I can do for any fellow being, let me do it now. Let me not defer it or neglect it, for I shall not pass this way again. We are called to be those pillars of faith for the world. When floods and earthquakes hit, which they will, we're those pillars of faith, and we reach out and we give that help and hope. In the face of hatred and racism and exclusion and bigotry and repression and judgmentalism, injustice, bullying, we say no, because our pillar and our guide says no. And we stand and we act in our troubled and beautiful world. Our guide re-energizes us and reorients us and sets us back on our feet, encouraging, inspiring, reminding us that we have the power to shape and to change our life and our world. Where there is hatred, we sow love. In the wake of disaster, we create, we don't sit around and wait, we create hope and help. In the face of division, we build unity. In the face of exclusion, we give welcome. These are our pillars. This is our faith, our choice, our practice, our guide. And we are going to have an awesome year. God bless you. Amen. Our loving God of all people, what a joy it is to be gathered here today to worship you and draw you into our souls and to celebrate our friendships and to renew our faith and to be in your presence. And as our seasons begin to change, we are again aware that life is an ever-changing circle. Children are born and parents die and kids go off to school and kids start school and people go off to new jobs and people retire from jobs, because for everything there is a season, as you tell us. There's a time for every purpose under heaven. And now sometimes, God, we have to admit that we don't understand, and sometimes we can't see a purpose for some things that happen. Your world that you've made is so complex, so intricate. Often it's too complex for our minds to fully grasp. At times it's too complex, too powerful, too big for us to be able to fully manage and control. And for all of our sophistication, tremendous abilities, we've been sharply reminded of our limitations these past few days, with massive hurricanes and earthquakes rocking the foundations of buildings and lives and safety of people in Texas and Florida and all over the Caribbean and Mexico. With devastation, we've seen homes and buildings and highways and airports and marinas wash away as if they were nothing. And along with that, people's lives and work and feelings of safety and security and hope and trust in the foundation of life itself. And we see how quickly it can all change, God. How quickly it can be gone, what we knew before. And it can make us ask, in whom and what do we place our ultimate trust and energy? Into the buildings or material stability, or into you, into our relationships, friendships, or into our ability to help and make a difference and enjoy life. We realize that we're not mere spectators in all this, God. We're not spectators in what happens in our world. So help us realize just how closely and intimately we truly are connected with the air that we breathe, with the water that we share, with the land that we share, with the lives that we live. Because you've told us, God, that when one suffers, we all suffer. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We are, as you've said, just different parts of one body, different parts of the one body that you have created. So help us, we pray, to open our hearts, to feel, to be the hands of help for one another, to embrace our brothers and sisters who are hurting, and to be people of empathetic action, so that we may be beacons of your light and your spirit through our love and through our prayers and helping hands. And all this we pray in the Spirit of Christ. Amen.